My name is Fred Dodsworth. I'm chair of the National Finance Committee. Today is Tuesday, the 18th, I think, August 18th. It is 5:32, and this meeting is now beginning. Aki, can you call the roll, please?
Sure. Here you go. Christine Avalos. Lyndon Foley. Steve Cooker.
Here.
Thank you. Paul Martin. Fred Dodsworth. Did I hear Paul? Oh, yeah, Paul is here. Okay, thank you.
Here I am.
Fred Dodsworth.
I am here, sir.
Okay. Maida Wiesen.
I'm here too.
Okay. Jim Sagerton.
Here.
Thank you. Judy Hewitt. Michael
She's
Woodson.
The only one missing.
Here. I'm here, Michael Woodson.
Okay. Stephanie?
Here. Bill?
Okay. Susan Young? I know you're just simply an observer, but...
Susan is here, but she's not a voting member, so she doesn't need a roll call. Okay. And I will announce for the recording, which all committee and all stations have to make of every meeting like this, that Serene Roberts is also here from WBAI.
Okay. All right, so we have a call, Fred. Go ahead.
Mr. Okay. Chair, I think Jan Goodman, too.
Oh, Jan, okay. I don't know if you're Jan.
From KPFK.
So, I'm a non-speaking, non-voting observer today.
Okay. So, Aki, can you read the agenda, please?
Sure. First one is call to order. We just did the roll call. Approve the agenda. Approve of the June 9, 2026 minutes. Then we have the ED report, which also I think will get into the KPFK report. And then we have option, you know, we can discuss the membership fee options.
I thought we postponed that till after the election.
Right, okay. And then motion to go into closed session. There's a closed session minutes, you know, if you want to approve it. But anyway, and then we adjourn.
Good. Thank you very much. So it sounds to me like we should go immediately and do Stephanie's presentation.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Could we at some point get to the monthly income statement for the 6 months ending Tuesday, March 31st? Because we were saying we're going to, you know, release that publicly, and it's been a while, and it's not released yet.
There are a lot of things that aren't released yet, and I'm coming back from vacation, so I'm not up to date on what is available. Stephanie Wells will be giving a report, and I assume that she will handle it. Steve Kay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, my understanding was that was an incomplete report. It wasn't ready for prime time.
And I'm going to let Stephanie handle that because it can be addressed in her executive report.
Okay. All right.
Stephanie, the show is yours.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I will double check to see if the most recent, those March reports were updated with the numbers from KPFA. So I'll put that on my list of things to do. But I believe that's why it hadn't been released, because the numbers, the revenue wasn't accurate from KPFA.
And I'd actually sent you a note asking about that. And you'd said that the good news is that we now are back and the audit is working and we're meeting our schedule. And we're going to be dealing with these other issues that we addressed in our last meeting in the near future.
Correct. So yes, Markeisha and I continue to meet with the auditors every Tuesday morning. We're meeting with them again at the end of this week. We did receive a lot of the information that we had not received from one of the stations from KPFA. And so that was received. There's just a couple of things that are missing, but they're very minor. So though I'm not even worth getting nervous over. But I have reached out to, let them know what it is that they need to complete, but it's very simple, just a couple of bank statements. But other than that, we have been uploading everything that was received from the station to the portal that we have with the auditors. And so, as I said, we met with them this morning to go over everything that had been uploaded. And then the additional information that we received, I'm still continuing to update that in the portal. And as I said, I meet with the auditors again closer to the end of the week, to go over everything that we have there. So what happens in that process is that we have a list of everything that's needed, assignments as to who's supposed to update them, and then we upload information to the portal, spreadsheets, written statements, whatever it is that they are requesting, and then their auditing team reviews it, and it shows as being uploaded, and then it shows being reviewed, and then it'll tell if it's accepted, and then at that point it's completed.
Since our Paul and myself as well, very much so, am very interested in knowing how the KPFA balance sheet is looking. Is that, can you give us any summary of what you now know about the income stream versus the expenses?
No, because the information that we were requesting was from 2022 and 2023.
Okay.
So I've been focusing on 2022 and 2023 and getting that information as needed. Our taxes were completed for 2025. So that there's information. We had to get information from them in order to complete the 2025 taxes. So I wasn't working on the taxes, more so just working on trying to get the back information from the audit. But I will look through my emails to see what information was forwarded in order for us to be able to complete the taxes.
I don't want to burden you with additional requests. And so we will be meeting again because I delayed this due to my vacation. We will be meeting in just two and a half weeks or 3 weeks, I guess.
Correct.
And so I think that I assume without objection from anybody else that by that time we will have accurate data from the KPFA, station.
Correct. Another thing that we're working on as well is we just started getting the draft, putting together the draft budgets for fiscal year 27. So those we are working on as well. And I am hoping that by the next meeting, I'll be able to have draft budgets that can be shared and reviewed.
Right. And I did read Ace's report, and it's very informative and disturbing. And I'm looking
exactly.
I'm looking forward to your presentation.
Yes. So with that, that was sent out. I don't know if you want to, well, we can.
We are not in executive session.
Right, right. And any of the information that's in there is not necessarily what was sent out to everybody. I backtrack. Nothing will be shared that can't be shared in open session. But two things that did as I looked through my ED report that was shared with the board members, the PNB at the last meeting, is that we do have a shareable report that is given to the directors to share with their committee members and LSB members. So I don't always necessarily know if that goes out or not. But one of the things that's good news for anybody that's listening in on this meeting that by chance possibly didn't listen to the PNB meeting on the 6th is that we have, the foundation has successfully fulfilled all the obligations under the FCC consent decree. So we have been formally released from those terms. So that was very good news. One thing that we are reminding though, all of the programmers, and when I announce this as well at our general managers and directors meeting, is that the termination of the consent decree is of course a very important milestone, but it does not lessen our responsibility to comply with FCC regulations. So we are still continuing to do trainings for individuals as need be. We don't have to report violations when we hear them under the consent decree. Anytime that there was a violation, we had to submit a report to the FCC stating what that violation was, when it occurred, proof of the violation, and then proof of what we have done to make sure that doesn't happen in the future. And usually that would mean any sort of, you know, warnings that were given to a programmer, additional trainings that the programmers went through, and assigned agreements or assigned acknowledgement that the programmers went through an additional training regarding the FCC, regarding underwriting and such. So that is still, so we're very happy that that was done. And we are very grateful to John Amella, who moved into the role of the national compliance officer when we went under the consent decree, and he did an amazing job making sure that we followed all the rules and regulations that we had to do under that consent decree.
This is really good news.
Yes, it's very good news. Another thing that is also very good news, and it's also up on Pacifica.org, the website, is the newest letter from the Internal Revenue Service that is backdating the there was a while, of course, as everybody knew, that if you went to the IRS website or looked at it, it would say that our status was suspended as far as a nonprofit. We filled out the forms that were necessary, submitted those to the IRS. We've submitted things as well to the California Attorney General's office, but we did receive a letter from the IRS that says that we are exempt from federal income tax. We have continued to be. There was no lapse of suspension. The effective date when the words went up on the website stating that we were suspended or revoked, it was dated February 15th, I believe, and the letter from the IRS backdates it to February 15th, so there is no lapse whatsoever. And they are didn't check on the website today, but we basically anything that says lapsed or no, we don't have a nonprofit status is no longer on the IRS website, or if it is up there and anybody calls to check because they may not believe the letter that we have, the IRS will say, yeah, there was no lapse in their exemption at all. So we expect to also see that coming off of the California Attorney General's office as well. And if a letter is received from them, that will also be posted up on our website. So anybody can go to Pacifica.org and pull up that reinstatement letter to see that we are in good standing. And they can also go to the website and see all of our tax returns from 22, 23, 24, and 25. And soon we'll be able to put up the 22, 23 audited financial statements, since we are actively working on those. And then we will soon start uploading all the information for 24 and 25. So we are still on track to finish all of those audits by the end of this year, hopefully by the end of November. I'm telling myself maybe mid-December, but we will have everything done by the end of 2026. So
thank you for a job well done. This is a lot of work and you deserve a lot of credit for it.
You know, Markeisha deserves the...
I'm giving Markeisha all the credit.
Yeah, she's just doing an outstanding job. You know, just getting the taxes done, 2 years worth of taxes in a short amount of time. She had support from, two other people that have been working part time helping her. Usually they just do work on the weekends, but it's been just a bevy of emails and numbers and things going back and forth. So I've just been trying to put my arms around everything and then upload things as we get them for the auditors and for the tax, for our tax accountants, two separate companies. But, it's been a lot of work and she has handled it beautifully.
Excellent.
So during all of this, while this is going on, we are also, looking at the budgets, in our general managers and directors meetings, just taking a look at what's working, what's not working, how to increase listenership, how to improve programming, implementing program evaluations. Those are kind of slowly rolling out at some of the stations because we don't want to shock programmers right away saying we're evaluating you, but just kind of, general managers are talking with people, meeting with them and kind of getting them used to that understanding that you need to increase your listenership. You need to raise a certain amount of money. How can we help you with that? So it's not just completely on the programmers, but what can we do from the national level? And then what can we do at a local level to help brainstorm on how certain programs can generate income. And one of the stations that has been causing issues for a while because it's not self-sustaining is KPFK. So Ace Estwick, who's the interim general manager there, wanted to just get a better grasp of what is the financial position? What does it look like at KPFK? So for him to get a better understanding, he went through 28 months of just the bank statements so we could get a general idea of the cash position, in for the last 28 months. So he went through March of 2024 through June of 2026. So it was, I'm just reading off of his form. It was the cash position through July of 2026. I had sent this out to people today. Ace was going to join us and then something came up and he was unable to join us with this. So I'm going to try to walk you through everything. And then he also sent out to the listeners and anyone who was signed up, not necessarily a listener member, but anyone that has signed up for the KPFK newsletter. He sent out, and I forwarded that to the National Finance Committee, a recap of how the fund drives have been and what, you know, just a nice chart on fund drive history. I believe that was from 2021 through current. And it was just kind of an interesting way to look at what's worked, what hasn't worked when we've had downslopes, just to kind of get a general idea as to fund drive cash flow. But the financial position, and as helpful and handy as that was, and we're getting a lot of comments from people that received that newsletter saying this has given me a great, you know, better understanding as to what it takes to run the station, and we can see how money ebbs and flows, those kind of things. But the financial position was really just something more internal. There's nothing secretive about it at all. But what we're using it for is to get a better understanding as to what we need to do to create the stabilization plan for that station. So Ace and I have been working on looking through these numbers, brainstorming, I mean, that typical brainstorming, throw everything out and, you know, no idea is a bad idea when brainstorming, just to kind of figure out what we can do. What are the alternatives, the best scenario, what we, you know, realistically can do, what's the dream thing we can do to figure out a longer and write a long-term stabilization plan for KPFK. Long-term meaning what is, how do we see it in the future in quite a few years, but also what is that immediate stabilization plan? So once we finish that plan, which we definitely will, that should be complete, I would say, by probably the end of the week or the beginning of next week. We will share that with the National Finance Committee because we do want to be able to have the input from the Finance Committee as to, does some of this make sense? This is what we're thinking, you know, just so we can have something else to bounce these ideas off. But as we looked through this financial position and he created, this is the one that I sent out to everybody today, there's a lot of charts, there's bar charts, there's lines, you know, there's just numbers. The spreadsheets were attached to it as well as in Excel, just so people could get, you know, whatever is comfortable for people looking at, they can look through. And this is going to help us as well as we plan the and create the budgets for the upcoming year. So all of the general managers have seen the KPFK financial position document that Ace created, and then we're going to plug in numbers from all of the other stations as well, and the general managers are well aware of this. Some of them started working on it already, and we're going to plug in all the numbers for the rest of the stations as well, so then we can get the same picture in a nutshell. Again, it's rough because it is basically just off of the bank balances and bank statements, but we can then, we'll have forms like this and charts like this for every single station, which will then help us as we explain why budgets are, you know, what we're doing as far as the budgets for next year, and create also the same sort of stability plans for stations that need it. So be looking forward to that. It's the most complex creation was this first one, but the rest of them will be very simple to just plug in the numbers and pump those out. So my hope is by our next meeting, which I'm looking at the calendar, I must maybe the 25th, possibly. I don't know what our next meeting is. We'll try to have all of these, or at least the majority, more of them for the other stations. So I don't know if anybody had a chance to take a look at this or not, and I can share my screen if nobody has had a chance to look at it, if you'd like.
I've read it. It's this thing. I don't know if anybody else has.
Okay. I'm sharing the colorful chart the colorful chart one. But basically in a nutshell, what is happening at KPFK is we, you know, are running through, we know that they've been running in a deficit, but it's averaging about $21,000 a month, as an average deficit. And again, this is using the one account that they have at KPFK for 28 months from March 2024 through June 2026. And this is the cash position through, July. So he broke it down pretty simple here at the top. The average monthly spend is $133,000. The average monthly revenue is $111,000. And this basically, when he ran this, they had, you know, what their cash on hand was, not counting, you know, what they have as far as with payroll, because what we try to deal with is make sure that your payroll is covered. And as we start getting close to like maybe 2 or 3 months out of a possibility of them, of a station or unit not covering payroll, then, you know, we start going in obviously and thinking what the issue is. So, but it goes through as again, deficit, the deficit per month and how that was changing basically. And again, it averaged out after he, you know, added all of these deficits per month, 8 methods applied to the same 28 months of data, and the methods are down below. Again, we got that average of about $250,000 per year. One of the things that we noticed, which, you know, we're lucky for, it's a sad way to get money, but, you know, we're happy that people do remember us in their wills. A lot of the stations do rely quite heavily on bequests. The thing is with bequests, in the past, not all of the stations, but many of the stations would budget in a bequest. And when I started, I basically told the stations, you can't budget a bequest unless it is something that you're guaranteed, you know, because of a bequest that you received a few years ago. If this is something that pays out every year or twice a year and there's a set amount of time, we know that that's guaranteed income, but you can't budget a bequest because you do not know if that's going to happen. Do the stations know roughly how much they get per year from a bequest? Yeah, they can average it out based upon historical knowledge, but you really can't budget it. But you can kind of see with the chart here, the cash balance is that this is the blue line is the actual month balance based upon when, you know, what money was coming in. So right here, they received in May of 2025, July of 2025, couple of bequests here. They received some major bequests here in the, as I said, the May and the July of 2025. And then they just, you know, started kind of filtering out. If they had not received those bequests, which is the blue, which is the red dotted line, you can see, you know, how they were going on pretty good, but dropping substantially. So thankfully, again, sad way to get money, but, you know, thankful for donors that do and listeners and members that do remember Pacifica in their wills. The bequests that were received in 2025 have really been what has, been keeping KPFK afloat. Unfortunately, there's a lot of the stations, divisions, all of us here, you get a bequest, and what would be the best thing to be able to do with the bequest is to be able to then save that money or a large portion of the money and be able to set that aside in an ongoing endowment or just a savings account, so we can be able to have money that is set aside in case something, you know, have that reserve account. KPFT thankfully has been able to slowly start building reserve accounts, or, you know, think of it as a savings account, rather than relying on it to carry the stations through. And there have been historically stations getting bequests, and then this is even prior to my time, and then just saying, oh, we got this whole bunch of money, now we can sit and rest and not have to do anything. And they just kind of live off of that bequest without making any efforts to continue to think, you know, to raise money and meet their monthly nut. So we'll go ahead and answer questions before I get lost.
Let's start with James Egerton. And try to keep your questions brief if you can.
Hi, Stephanie. Thank you.
Hi.
We don't have the FCC consent agreement anymore. It never did prevent us from using thank you gifts. But there's been a reluctance at WBAI to take advantage of a revenue stream that's been very productive, if problematic, over the years. And I'm wondering if, you know, we're even putting slogans on the air about, you know, the premium is the program, or the program is the premium. I forget which way it goes. So my question is, will we be talking to WBI management and asking them to step up their fundraising and their use of multiple streams of fundraising rather than just relying on large donations, stepping up the use of the thank you gifts again, as people do appreciate them, especially when it's something that we own, we have the copyright on, we know we have theater tickets, we have, I think there's been some effort recently to put out some tote bags, which is all good, but this is an untapped resource and we sorely need it. So what's the conversation we're going to have about that at WBAI?
I know that there are statements that do go out on the air that the premium is the program. I will have to get a list of what thank you gifts that they are using, whether it's most of the stations have moved toward a print on demand as far as thank you gifts. So somebody wants a coffee mug. We don't have to put the money up front to buy that mug or that tote or that mouse pad or that t-shirt. It's printed on demand and it's fulfilled by the thank you gift company. So we don't, do we pay for it? Probably a little bit more than what you would pay for a t-shirt, but it's not a significant amount more and we don't have to hold that inventory. They are still in the process, to my knowledge, of still sending out to individuals who never got thank you gifts in the past. They're going through the inventory of books that are at the station and calling people and offering them some things that we already have on hand, but it will not go back to the premiums the way they were prior with some of the products that were being sold. But I will double check with them to see what the actual thank you gifts are. I know they have had an increase in the WBAI buddies. So they are significantly pushing that. So that's a big, huge plus, you know, of what they're doing. But I don't think that they are actually like getting a product and then pitching that as the premium.
Can I have a quick follow up, Fred?
Oh, can I move on, please, James? Art Paul, you've got a question?
Yeah. The executive director said that besides the HTML file, we also got a spreadsheet along with that. And in that email, I only have one file, and that's the HTML file.
Okay. Then I'll make sure to send that to you.
Myla, you have a question?
Thank you.
I do. And I just want to say, I think that the numbers show that, we're running at KPFK at like a $21,000 a month, deficit. And, I'm curious, do you know off the top of your head, what we are paying, for rent now? Because we, Our building was sold to pay off Pacifica's other debts, and I'm wondering whether a capital campaign for us to buy a building so we don't have to pay rent. But I know it's water under the bridge and all of that, but it still hurts that we lost our building, and I'm curious about how, whether we're paying as much as $2,100 a month in rent.
$21,000,
excuse me.
Oh my goodness, no, rent is a little less than $6,000.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to answer the question about her, capital?
As far as a capital campaign, yes, that there are discussions regarding doing a capital campaign. We have KPFK has a campaign going on right now for just tower repairs and work that has to be done on the tower. They've raised, I believe, approximately maybe $20,000 or so, maybe 25, spent close to about $8,000 to $10,000 on various repairs that have had to happen up there. As far as a capital campaign for a building, we have been in discussion regarding that. For anyone that has been through a capital campaign before, there is a lot of pre-planning with your capital campaign and talking to major donors before the campaign is even announced. So you figure out, think of it as a pyramid, and you have your dollar amount of what you need to raise at the top. Before you have, in the top of the pyramid, you have a small amount, which is a small number of donors that are donating the majority of the money for that capital campaign. You then have a medium, then as it goes down through that pyramid, you have other donors that are going down there. And the biggest number of donors that you have is usually that are donating the smallest amount. Everything, of course, is needed. You don't even announce that you're having a capital campaign to the public until you have close to 65 to 70% of your funding already guaranteed. And then you announce it to the public. Because at that point, you already have the majority of the money that is needed. We have been looking at, and this will be in the, plan, that we're working on for the station is an immediate 3-year, 5-year. We have been looking at locations. We have been looking at potential locations to, what would we need to purchase? Are we looking at a smaller, at a small studio? Or are we looking to have the same place where people can go and we can have concerts or we can have, meetings and people that are there? What kind of area do we need? KPFT has a house. We're not going to move into a house, but KPFT has a house that they have the ability to have people come in, but it's not like a community center. It's, serves its purpose. People do come in. They can have small meetings, but it's not a big community center. WPFW is more of a community centric facility, and they're looking to try to find a building that would, have a place to have big community meetings, to be able to have poetry readings or art exhibits. They want to be a different type of force within the community. Not saying that KPFT doesn't do that, but they do a lot of their outreach within the community rather than having a lot of the community come to them. And so that's what we are figuring out with KPFK. What is it that we're looking for as a station? Los Angeles is huge. It's spread out. We all know that. So having some place that is a center where people can come is not that we wouldn't do that, but we have to take that in consideration because the signal, as we all know, is huge. So if we have a community center where people can come and hang out, it's KPFK, that maybe isn't reaching and helping the people that are coming from the Inland Empire or that are further up in the Santa Barbara area. So we really have to kind of think, what kind of facility are we looking for? There has been discussion of the possibility of, we've had a few conversations with some colleges and community colleges in Los Angeles and near Los Angeles in the vicinity that have radio stations and a radio department, but maybe aren't using the station all the time. So can we partner with them or help support them by moving into their facility? We had had conversations about this when we were looking for a temporary home for KPFK, of moving to a local city college and working with them on having students, having interns, having the students work on programming, having our programmers help support the students, and working together to create a capital campaign with the power of their development department, and helping build a larger, bigger studio that could house and increase the communications department at the school, as well as support KPFK. And then there's, you know, looking at a standalone building, that kind of thing. So we're looking at all these different options. So a capital campaign, yes, we're talking about it, but a capital campaign takes a good year to 2 years of planning before it's even announced. As I said, we have to get those large gifts guaranteed first. We have been having those conversations with people already.
Thank you for your extensive response to that question. Steve Kay, you have a question.
No, I just don't see how you could buy a building when you have a huge loan to the FJC. So,
can we not get into that? You know, that's totally not part of the NFC's raison d'etre at this stage of the game. James Haggerton, you had one other question you wanted to get back to.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to I'm going to say that some of this stuff is old news, and I've always been a little disappointed that it's taken so long to get to it, but I know it's a big boat and it takes a long time to turn it around.
Yep.
But in terms of looking for thank you gifts at WBA, again, I know we're doing some theater tickets, some tote bags are going out, smattering of them, but what I'm talking about is returning not to the products. And we all hated the infomercials and the merchandising was illegal. And, you know, we get all of that, but downloadable things that people can get the information that they're looking for and have that as part of their library, you know, but we don't have to send it out. We don't have to do mailing, you know, we don't have to do postage. That's kind of what I've been hoping for. Any thoughts about that on the horizon?
Yes. We definitely do not want to continue with, I'm assuming you're referring to items that we have in our archives.
Yeah, archive stuff that we own, that we have copyright to, that we're clear on.
Yes. And also, you know, please note, we're still in the midst of
Digitizing
everything that's in our, and copyright, doing copyright, the National or the Library of Congress and AAPB is still doing copyright searches on a lot of our materials. There's close to probably 10,000 items that we do have, and we have been utilizing those with specials. The program directors are talking to Brian on a regular basis, you know, what we can use for programming. There's to have things that are downloadable for people, we have to be able to get the software that is necessary to provide people with a one-time code that they can download what they get through, you know, as a thank you gift, because we do not want to continue to send out thumb drives, and we are really not doing that at all. It's just, you know, as you said, it's just too cost effective. We don't really have the manpower to do that. We have two people. We have interns that are working with us, still working on the cataloging and the digitization aspect of the archives. And then we also have someone that is doing a lot of the digitization now themselves with some of the CDs and the reel-to-reel thing, and not even reel-to-reel, but the some of the CDs that we had that weren't really made in the proper form. And so he's going through all of those CDs and reviewing them and then making a digitized copy of them. And then we send that off again to do the copyright search. We will ultimately get there where it's all downloadable. Because we just have to get the software again that is necessary and a platform that can handle that. We're looking with the company. Brian and I have talked to a couple of organizations already that can manage a website for us that, or, you know, build that website for us and manage something that would allow people to go in and listen to what they need to listen to, get a code and download what they need, you know, what they want to download. And it would, the setup just in the very beginning was close to $60,000 to $70,000. So we're still in conversations with them, but we've told them flat out, we don't have the money to do that right now.
I'd like to suggest that what James is bringing up should really be done as a subcommittee, whether it's a subcommittee of the PNB or the subcommittee of the NFC doesn't matter to me, but it really is something that's going to require a lot of personal time and effort and is not really within the responsibility of the NFC. And I encourage Mr. Sagerton to suggest a committee that he would be on that would help us look at all these other options for making money. Stephanie, you want to go back to your report? Or are you done?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's a lot of nice, you know, colors and charts and things like that, but it's broken down roughly for KPFK as the monthly expenses by category. And as you can see, you know, which is pretty set across the board, except possibly at except I know it wouldn't be a KPFT, is the payroll and benefits. And so that would be this dark blue. There's a higher increase, right? There was a bigger increase. It's all pretty stable except for right here. And where that increases is that by chance in that month, there was a payout to a employee that they weren't part of the union and they requested to be part of the union and a grievance was filed and they needed to be, the station needed to pay back wages and union dues and, lost, you know, past vacation and seniority. Long story, all settled.
Over $100,000 payout, it looks like.
Yeah. So, yeah. So everything else, you know, as you see, it's relatively pretty, you know, relatively fine. There was some central service payments that were made, and then most likely this was when we were charging people just a small portion of some of their central service payments. So, and if a bequest came in, then KPFK did, you know, pay something as far as the central services. But it's kind of a, you know, little breakdown here.
This does not paint a really pretty picture, just FYI to everybody.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, when you see kind of all the red, but what is where the positive thing is with all of this is that it's, you know, easy to understand because there are things that we have to send out, not just with our own, you know, National Finance Committee, but if I'm having conversations with a donor, if I'm having conversations with the union, for example, and the union sees our financials on a regular basis. Anybody has the right to do that. So when I send them the financials, as we've all seen with our 8 pages of spreadsheets, it can be a little confusing. Even when we provide things to grants or major donors and they're asking what's going on, to be able to have something that's a little easier to see and understand. This is much easier from a management standpoint to be able to send things out to people that maybe aren't comfortable with spreadsheets. And it's much easier to be able to explain to the union, this is why we're making some of the decisions that we're making because we're running this amount of a deficit, or we don't want to pay rent anymore. We want to be able to move into a building that's our own, or we want to be able to share space with a university, because we want to be able to, you know, to save that. So this is just a cleaner, you know, kind of prettier way to look at things, even if it's negative. Not all the stations will have this, you know, this much red or going downhill. Hopefully. But you know, but we will be able to go through that. So I'm not going to talk everybody through this. You can take a look at it, but it goes down through here basically as to, you know, where, you know, how he did, what he did, and how some of these things, you know, just kind of gives a better explanation. And I will make sure to send the spreadsheets as well.
In the email that you sent out that I read, it was suggested that ACE is willing to do this for all 5 of the stations.
Yes, he is. Yes. We've already met with, you know, we have our regular meetings with the general managers, and then we have meetings as well with the general managers and the program directors together, or anybody else that the station feels needs to be a part of the meeting. And so we shared this with everybody last week, and I'm compiling bank statements and giving it to ACE and the general managers, and he's teaching a lot of the general managers how to do this themselves. So he doesn't, but yeah, he's really,
that's really good news.
It's really very, very, yeah, very good news. And this will just make it a little bit visually easier for, even people at the stations who may not have a lot of sense, even with budgets and things like that, to get a different viewpoint on how to look at numbers and give better justification as to why we're doing what we're doing when we make changes and when we determine our budgets moving forward.
Myla has a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to say on the bright side that ACE also provided a report to at our last local station board meeting, which was last week, that our number of fund drive days have actually decreased and our numbers in terms of revenue have increased. So we're making a lot more at KPFK. We're like making a lot more money per day. And as I said, we have substantially cut down our fund drive days. And so that's looking on the bright side in terms of KPFK. We are improving under Ace Eswick's leadership, and it's really quite a dramatic shift since he has taken the helm.
Excellent. Stephanie, you want to go back to your report? Are we done or what?
No, I think that's it. But I do agree with Myla there. It's, you know, listeners get burnout, and that has been all of the general manager's goals from all of the stations, is to cut back on those days of fundraising. And when they're able to cut a day or two or three off, they're very excited. KPFT cut theirs off early. I believe WPFW recently was able to cut theirs off early, and it's they get very excited.
I had heard that we might be going into closed session.
I don't think that we need to until we have the plan as to the stabilization plan.
Okay.
Then we would be able to go into greater detail.
Okay. Thank you. James Haggerton, your hands up.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Stephanie, the last number I heard about the WBI fund drive was around 60,000. That was maybe as much as a week ago. Do you know where we are with that now?
I believe that you were closer to, I think, maybe 75. Let me look it up. 72,000 of 200.
Steve K says 72,000 today.
Yeah, 72,000.
I have a question. Is that including union money or is that subscribers?
Subscribers.
Excellent. And 72,000 compares to KPFK. What was the number for KPFA in terms of subscribers?
Of money raised from KPFK? I don't know what their most recent fund drive was.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about WBAI's funding source. I, as a former business magazine publisher, know the term captive shop. Captive shop is a shop that depends for most of their money from a single source. And it means that they are always held hostage by the reality that that source can go away. And I am a very strong believer in subscribers and WBAI buddies, because that pyramid that you described can support us at the local monthly level as well as the capital plan level. You know, we need our subscribers to support us, not individual donors, not bequesters. We need to have a lot of people who love the who love the news, the radio, the broadcast, and who depend on us for everything from news to hope.
Correct. Yeah, business will not survive if it does not diversify its income stream or revenue stream.
I think Melissa's got her hand up again.
I do. I just saw my colleague, Jan Goodman, fellow director, had asked me to ask a question, and I think part of it is answered. It was in the chat, and it's if one subtracted KPFK's rent, which Stephanie, you said was about 6,000 a month, what would KPFK's financial situation look like on a monthly basis? And I guess that would be subtracting 6,000 from 21,000, and then the question is, Jen says, I asked this because prior to the network selling the KPFK building, KPFK didn't pay rent, And we understand, those of us at KPFK understand that the sale of the building primarily benefited the network as a whole. So what would the fair way be for the network to take this loss of free rent into account when analyzing the financial station of each of each station in relationship to each other and in relationship to quote unquote subsidizing KPFK? Did you see it in the chat? And
no, but I will make, I'll take a look at it. Yeah, one thing too that we're also not, and I, you know, I get it, rent, all of a sudden you have rent when you don't normally have rent. Also well, there's only, yeah. there's still, you know, KPFK has, $108,000 in past due electric bills.
Whoa.
From the old building in Cuenca.
Uh huh.
And taxes and maintenance and a lot of other things that somebody owns on.
Yeah. So there's still a lot of, you know, even though
right.
they had the building, the bills regarding the building,
piled
power,
up.
Water, all of that was not getting paid. So there's still a substantial, you know, that's still a substantial debt that we owe the LA Department of Water and Power.
That the network will cover, not KPFK.
And it's my understanding, Stephanie, correct me if I'm wrong, that you were able to negotiate some of that debt down. Is that correct? Or were you just able to negotiate a payment plan?
We negotiated some of the debt down and a payment plan while they were still in the building. And then the bills were not able to be paid while they were in the building. And we had three chances to make those payments. And then once those payments weren't made, that negotiation was lost.
Oh.
So we will start to do that again once we try to pay them. So any sort of capital campaign, those are things that we have to take in consideration if we move into a capital campaign world, is that all that past due debt has to be paid first.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Let's move the agenda.
Correct, Jan.
Aki, what's next on the agenda?
Right now, there isn't anything today.
Great.
Either one. But I wanted to ask you, when you want to make the next meeting?
Well, it should be the second Tuesday of every month. That was what our previous agreement was. And we also, when we made that agreement, was that we can add meetings as is necessary. So right. We're not committed to meeting every Tuesday, but we are committed to being available or willing to negotiate the meeting whenever it comes. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally fine with that. I just didn't want to have a lot of meetings scheduled that we weren't actually going to have anything to discuss. And right now, my biggest issue is I'm waiting for a lot of data that has yet to come to us.
Okay, so we'll have the next meeting on September 8th then?
Is that the second Tuesday in September?
Yes.
That would be the case. Thank you.
Okay.
Can I ask, Stephanie, did you mention that we have back taxes? Oh, you're muted.
There are no taxes.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Martin.
Okay. Oh God, I lost my damned place and one second. Let me pass for a minute, but I have something to ask while I untangle.
Well, actually, I think we're ready to ask for an adjournment.
Oh, okay. I found it. We have, on the, crap. We have on the, discussion of membership fees and options.
That was postponed till after the election.
Oh, okay.
Which I said at the very beginning of this meeting.
Is that what that was? Okay. Thank you.
Can I hear a move to adjourn? Anybody?
Yeah. Don't move. Myla moves.
And Michael Woodson moved, and Myla seconded. Excellent.
Seconds in a committee.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Bye. Thank you all for your time. Your time is valuable, and I really appreciate that we got this work done in a really professional manner.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye, Otis.
Good night, all.